Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. I'm really excited today to be interviewing an unusual guest today. And I'm on with Blair Milo, who is the director of the Office of Career Connections and Talent. How are you today, Blair?
I am great. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. I really appreciate your time and willingness in coming on our show. And because you're probably not from the southern part of the state, you've not heard of what we do here, but this show is called Focus on the Community. And what we do is we talk about things that are important or of note for our community. And when I saw kind of your title and what you did, I said, well, that's something extremely important for a lot of communities and particularly ours. So I'm thrilled to have you today, Blair.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. That it's a great opportunity to get to spend time in communities. In fact, that's how I end up spending the bulk of my days, is getting to be out on the road talking with leadership. And so any opportunity I get to have of being able to communicate with folks as to what we're working on, and especially with the local partners who are so critical for success, then I really appreciate it. So thanks so much for having me.
Wonderful. So let's start off like we do with a lot of our guests. You are Blair Milo with the Office of Career Connections and Talent. And tell us a little bit about your background and then maybe segue into how you got into that role.
Sure. Well, I've had the great blessing of quite the adventure of a career path. That had the opportunity to go to Purdue University, did the Navy ROTC program there, and was commissioned into the Navy, where I was an active duty surface warfare officer for about 5.5 years. And as I was completing my time on active duty and planning to transition into the reserves, that became aware of some of the challenges going on in my hometown of LaPorte, Indiana, also known as the Hub of Awesome.
Hub of Awesome.
Yes,
I think that's a trademark.
Yes,
I think I've heard that before. Is that, you trademarked that, didn't you?
Since we're on the air, I should say yes, in order to protect it. I think that we talked about it at one point, I'm not sure we ever fully did. Then had the chance to get further involved as to what was happening in the community, which at the time I had come to discover the city was in pretty dire financial condition, and that led me to get a little further involved into understanding what was going on and how it could be fixed, and led to conversations that I was or should run for office, all of which initially I thought was really funny, and then ultimately came to the thought process of, boy, somebody really needs to do something about this, and realized, well, it's never been my model to expect somebody else to do something.
Sure.
I wasn't willing to do. So jumped in, had the opportunity to run for mayor and win actually a couple of terms, and so was able to serve as mayor of LaPorte for 5.5 years, and a wonderful team and community and actually regional team and statewide team that we got to interact with on a pretty regular basis to be able to improve the climate of business attractiveness and economic development, and focus on sustainable infrastructure and fostering positive lifestyle choices. And yet, amidst all the growth that we were seeing take place in all three of those areas, some of the biggest struggles that we were facing in LaPorte were not dissimilar to what I was talking with my fellow mayors about across the state, of being able to grow opportunity and new jobs, but really struggling to be able to get people into those positions as things are changing in the workforce. But I didn't fully connect up with all of what was happening when I was mayor. I got pieces of it and started learning more about some of what was influencing that. And that led to conversations with, Chairman Holcomb when he was chairman of the Republican Party.
Yeah. And now governor, right?
Now Governor Holcomb, about what we were doing to be able to connect people up to jobs and grow different types of skills, and a recognition of a need to be able to have some interaction amongst all the different statewide stakeholders and the policy teams in Indianapolis, as well as then developing some further resources and tools to be able to support all those elements from the policy team in Indianapolis and supporting everybody out in communities. And so when I was approached by Governor Holcomb to come and take this new position as Secretary of Career Connections and Talent, then I was really excited to be able to first know that this was his thought process on what we were doing for a type of position, and then number two, to be a part of building out this concept and really being able to interact and serve with community leaders across the state.
Yeah, that's a really good explanation of how you got to where you're at. I can't believe you did that without any practice. That was really impressive. So I wanted to ask a little bit more about LaPorte. You know, we're in the southern part of the state. So mm-hmm. Tell us, how big is LaPorte?
So LaPorte is a community of a little over 22,000 people. Okay. And we are the county seat of LaPorte County, which sits just at the base of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And so I have come to learn that some people consider it in the region, some do not.
The Chicago region, is that right?
Correct. And the Northwest Indiana area, of which I'll also share that I didn't realize until I went to Purdue and started meeting people and told them I was from LaPorte, and they said, oh, you're from the region. I thought, I'm from a region.
like what region are you referring to?
Right. And then I thereafter learned that there was some designation of the region.
Gotcha.
But only understood by some of those outside of it. Now I understand more that I think that was... has sure. been a term that has been used. But
you referred to it as just a great place. I assume you loved growing up there. You wanted to go back there and be the mayor. You called it the I'll quote, the hub of awesome. And I think that's great. And I think a lot of people want to go back to their hometowns and have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know a lot of people that want to go back and run for mayor. I mean, what was the switch that flipped?
Well, there are some who will say that I just have some wires crossed.
Sure.
In my head. But ultimately, you know, I've had the benefit of some tremendous opportunity and the blessing to be able to serve in the Navy that allowed me to live all over the world. And I spent some time living in Bahrain and Iraq. I lived aboard a ship for a couple of deployments and homeported onto Norfolk, Virginia. I had the chance to live in Washington, D.C. when I was at the Pentagon. And from all the various different places that I got to visit, it gave me a great insight into how lucky I was to grow up in the community that I did, that and in the state that I did, of a place where people still care about one another, and that there is a true sense of community, and really interacting and trying to have that village effect of, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, and really feeling that. And so as I saw the struggles that were happening in LaPorte, I thought about how nice it would be to be able to be a part of that again, and yet how challenging that can be for some of my peers who may want to have that kind of an opportunity to raise now our families in, but the struggle that can be. And thought, well, if there's an opportunity for me to be a part of creating an environment that fosters those opportunities for us to continue the service that the community played in our lives in growing us to have the opportunities that we have, then I want to be a part of that because it's meant so much to me. And it just really from a place of gratitude of what LaPorte has done for my life in so many different ways, of which I suspect many people across the state of Indiana feel. I happen to be from LaPorte, and I'm a little biased towards the hub of awesome, but I think that probably people in southern Indiana feel very committed to their communities as well, which is what I think is so fantastic and in some ways magical about our state, and that people from outside come and experience and really appreciate about the opportunities here.
Absolutely. I was away for several years and then moved back to Daviess County in Southwest Indiana, and just really happy with that decision. Really pleased to be back where I was born and where I'm from. And it's been a great experience for myself and my family. So I totally understand when you're talking about LaPorte. I feel very similarly. And you must have done an amazing job. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about how you got kind of called up to the big leagues, so to speak, the statewide responsibilities. And if I'm correct, Blair, this is kind of a new role, right? This is not something that previously existed under other administrations. This is what you're doing now is new under Governor Holcomb.
That is correct. It's a new position, and so I am just past my 1 year mark of being in this role, and for the first time being in a newly created position to experience what that's like of having to develop it out into where we see the need is, and starting from a vision of what does this mean for Hoosiers. And that was kind of the driving force behind the title of the Secretary of Career Connections and Talent. Of it's geared at connecting Hoosiers to career opportunities and developing our talent pipelines to ensure that our businesses are going to have access to the talent needed, that we're anticipating over a million job openings over the next 10 years. And all with that being, I think, good challenges of being able to connect people up with these different types of jobs because of the attractiveness of our business climate and the strong economic growth that Indiana is experiencing with the leadership that we have at not only the state level, but also within our businesses who are seeking these growth opportunities.
Absolutely. And our listeners may or may not know this, but I'm on with Blair Milo, who is the Secretary of the Office of Career Connections and Talent. I got that right, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay. And for our listeners, maybe tell them about Indiana. I mean, I read a lot of political stuff and statewide political stuff, but Indiana has really been performing well on economic indicators and job growth I saw the other day that a government indicator that Indiana is the second lowest debt per capita statewide of any of the 50 states. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that?
I didn't see that specific one. It doesn't surprise me that our economic health is definitely one of the things from just a state perspective is one of the things that really helps set us apart from a business attractiveness climate that because we do have, just under, I think, around $2 billion in reserves that are allowing us to help have access to a strong budget and a healthy financial balance sheets, that then that plays out across the state. And for businesses to know that there's a stable and really attractive climate to be able to grow their business in Indiana, and then quite honestly, the aggressiveness that we pursue different types of opportunities and the diversity of that those different types of growth opportunities. I think we're ranked number one in the Midwest and number five nationally from Chief Executive Magazine of best and worst states to do business in. So with being number one in the Midwest and five nationally of the best, sure. We're ranked number two in infrastructure by CNBC. By U.S. News and World Report, we're number two in long-term fiscal stability. And there's just a whole list of these, of different publications recognizing what the attractiveness of our economic climate is. And last year was a record year for the Indiana Economic Development Corporation of new job commitments coming forward, that we had a little over 30,000 new job commitments for 2017 that represented $7.04 billion in capital investment. And the latest numbers that I have are through, I think, July, as far as the new job commitments that we're seeing, that there's a promise of $3.6 billion in capital investment and for the number of job commitments through July, we're at 20,097 new Hoosier jobs coming forward. As I said, that's just through July, so we're just shy of being able to meet the goal that Governor Holcomb gave us this year of not being happy with settling for even meeting the record number that we created last year of over 30,000, that he gave us the target of 35,000 for this year, and we're continuing to shoot towards being able to meet that by the end of this year.
That's wonderful. I know Indiana's really been on a roll, and I think it's got to be tough for a governor who's following the backs of folks within his own party, who's been deemed to have successful administrations, and to really trying to step it up. But he's rolled out this concept of next level, and he's got this next level jobs, and he wants to take Indiana to the next level to constantly mm-hmm. ratchet things up. Maybe you talk about the pillars of that and what the focus is.
Absolutely. Well, the governor is focused, as you said, on taking Indiana to the next level. And one of the key features of that our team has been focused on is building a 21st century workforce and ensuring that we are able to meet the goals set forward with us. And as you mentioned, he's in a somewhat challenging spot of some big shoes to fill of the previous governors coming forward from Governor Daniels and now Vice President Pence. And what's really great to be able to work with Governor Holcomb on is that he's, I think, learned in very close positions of working with all of those administrations, working with then-Senator Coates, who is now National Security Advisor Coates, and some tremendous leadership and mentors, and yet he brings his own focus and his own leadership style and priorities to the position that are really exciting to work towards, and a tremendous team that he has built that I feel honored to get to be a part of being able to work on a regular basis with Indiana Economic Development Corporation. I was just earlier today in meetings with Secretary Jim Schellinger, who's Secretary of Commerce, and I talk regularly with Elaine Beadle, who's the president of the Economic Development Corporation, with Fred Payne, who is the Commissioner of Workforce Development, Teresa Lubbers, the Commissioner of Higher Education. Danny Lopez is doing a fantastic job as the chairman of the governor's workforce cabinet, which is newly created under Governor Holcomb's leadership to really synergize all of the different stakeholders at a state level to be a part of the policy building aspect of things, and then working with stakeholders across the state as well. All from Governor Holcomb's leadership and the vision that he's put forward for us.
Absolutely. Lots to talk about and unpack there. And IEDC, that's Indiana Economic Development Corporation. Is that right?
That is correct. Sorry, I get in the habit of using the alphabets there.
No problem. So there's a lot of talk of that statewide and locally. A lot of people have different definitions for economic development. Tell me what that means to you and how that looks like in your role for the governor.
Sure. Well, and there is, I think, pretty broad views of what economic development can be. And really, I think, being geared towards creating opportunities within our communities and for our state for all Hoosiers. And, I mean, you've got the tagline of Indiana, of a state that works, of which we were chatting earlier this week. The governor was talking about having it really be a state that works for all, and economic development being a key aspect of creating those opportunities for Hoosiers to grow and thrive in their lives and for their families as well. And so sometimes economic development can be referred to in the sense of working, you know, with a specific business and what types of transactions need to happen in order to have a business grow in Indiana or be attracted here. And it certainly has a broader sense when we think about some of the quality of place elements of attracting people to our communities and developing the types of almost at times intangible elements that people then see that they want to grow their families within our communities. And so it can be a very broad term and also then gets used in a narrow scope, oftentimes depending on who may be referencing it, and where it can be actually a term of art based upon the context.
Absolutely. And this has been a lot of interesting things and a lot of things that are germane to our community right now and germane and important to our state. We are getting to that point where we're going to have to start wrapping up. You've done a phenomenal job. I've got a couple less related to your job and more stuff about the governor and working in government. I mentioned this earlier, but before we get popped on the air, the governor likes to wear cowboy boots with a suit. Is that right?
He oftentimes wears his cowboy boots with his suits or with jeans. I thankfully have not seen the combination of shorts and cowboy boots yet, but he has a whole collection of different colors and styles that's his go-to footwear of choice.
No, he's quite the character, and he's a tall guy, and so when he wears those cowboy boots, it seems like he's 7 foot tall.
Well, and I'll tell you, there have been times that I have had the opportunity to be visiting with he and Speaker Bosma and Senate President Pro Tem Long, and all three of whom are very tall individuals.
Yes.
And it got to the point that if I knew that I was going to be in a meeting with all three of them, that I would go to my closet and try and find the tallest shoes that I could pick out.
I totally understand. So let's get wrapped up here a little bit. I'm going to give you the last word, and I want you to pretend like I'm meeting you on an elevator, and you have to give me an elevator speech about what you do. So you're 15 seconds, and then where you see our state going over the next couple years, by way of your role. So what your role is and then where we're going.
I have the great opportunity to serve Governor Holcomb, the 51st governor of Indiana, of being able to connect people up to Hoosier opportunities and businesses to growth opportunities across the state of Indiana, and ensuring that we have talent pipelines to be able to meet the growth that we are experiencing overall. And we're doing that through partnerships between education and business and growing that collaboration at the local, regional, and state level. And I get to serve as sort of the evangelist and business development arm of creating all of that collaboration and synergy, and we're seeing tremendous growth in a sustainable fashion, which is, I think, the key element of this overall, through the partnership of so many folks across the state, and through great programs like Next Level Jobs, which can be found at nextleveljobs.org, and I'm very excited about how Indiana is setting itself apart from states across the country in addressing this critical area.
Awesome job. We really appreciate your time and coming on today, and thank you for what you're doing for Indiana.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to join you and for the chance to share all the work. And it's through collaboration across the state that we're getting things done and getting to have conversations like these today.
Excellent. That's Blair Milo with the Office of Career Connections and Talent. Thank you, Blair.
Thank you.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9, 101.3, FM, 1580 a.m. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9, WAMW, and each Sunday morning on 95.9, 101.3, and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the community.